So you can see in my descriptor, I'm a business storyteller, award-winning keynote speaker, best-selling author. And I say I'm a business storyteller and a keynote speaker because I want clients. That's how they book me. Yeah. And then can you see there I've got my X Factor statement. I'm the world's only economist turned Bollywood dancing business storyteller.
Yeah.
So don't feel you have to be a binary with these things. In addition to everything you do, but I don't want any of those common 100 words featuring in your X Factor statement.
Yes.
Because it won't be an X Factor statement. I find those words are like a bit of asbestos. They bring down the best statement, okay? They're toxic. I know.
Welcome to the Manage Self, Lead Others Leadership Podcast with Nina Sunday for experienced and aspiring people managers. This show will help you explore ways to become a more intentional leader. Each episode, host Nina Sunday speaks with some of the brightest business minds on the planet who share a passion to elevate and transform team culture. Workplace culture hides in plain sight. Is yours flourishing? Join the movement to make your workplace a better place to work. Are you ready? Because it's time to manage self, lead others.
Yamini Naidu is an economist turned business storyteller who works with leaders and business professionals, helping them craft, find, and share stories that connect, engage, and inspire. Author of X Factor, Unleash Your Presenting Superpower, Yamini Naidu's expertise is inspiring individuals to identify their X Factor statement to amplify and elevate their personal presence so they wow peers, clients, and boards and win that pitch, promotion, or business results. How can you create your own X Factor statement? Listen in to find out. Welcome, Yamini Naidu.
Hey, thank you so much, Nina. Such a joy to be here with you and your listeners.
Well, it's a pleasure because I attended your X Factor workshop and I got some, you inspired me to gain some insight into myself. But you talk about performance currency and relationship currency. Is that a good place to start?
Yes, it is. Quite early in our career, we're very focused on our performance and on our productivity. And, you know, we put in all the hard yards and that helps us to get to a certain place in leadership or in business. But after that, we find what matters is our relationships, the relationships and the network we build, the word of mouth that people, you know, our credibility, our reputation, all of that matters. This, the idea of relationship and performance currency actually comes from another author, from another book. She's a Wall Street heavy hitter. And I don't know if you have the reference there handy, Nina, but I was trying to find.
Oh, I will, because it's on page 14 of your book.
Oh, my God.
And
Carla Harris.
Right. Strategize to win, the new way to start out, step up, or start over in your career, Carla Harris.
Yeah. So she says when you build performance currency, you get your job done. But when you invest in relationships, you really build your relationship currency, and you need both. As a leader, as a professional, you need both.
So the X Factor statement, and we'll definitely be getting into what that means, and this is appropriate for anyone, whether they run a small business, whether they are a manager of a team in a small or medium or large organization, if they can amplify their self-identity and then share that with the people they have to relate to, relationship currency, then the whole business result, business outcome will be enhanced. Is that sort of the virtuous cycle?
Yes, to some extent. I think all of us want to be remembered. We want to be recognized for what we do and how we're unique, and we want to be referred. So if you're in business, you want, you know, leads. And if you're a leader, you want good word of mouth. You want recommendations. You want people to rave about your work. So we always want to be remembered. We want to be recognized. We want to be referred. But so often that very first question, you know, so what do you do? We bump up against it and we just either we ramble, or a few decades ago, we invented the unique selling proposition. You remember that?
Yes, the elevator statement.
And then came the elevator pitch. No. I've got the unique selling proposition, or the USP, was good, but no one really wants to be sold to. And then we created the elevator pitch. And again, that's the problem with the elevator pitch. It's like you're pitching to someone. It sounds very much hustle-based.
Yes.
And then we'll
discover... you're just going up in an elevator, or you're just at a networking function with a drink in your hand, you know.
I know. And people have got these, you know, these statements. And Nina said, you know, if we were in a room, and you're talking about networking functions, if we're in a room of 30 people and we went around asking everyone, so what do you do? How many of those statements would we remember at the end of 30 people? Ah. Probably one or none. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Yeah. We also then discovered personal brand. Now, personal brand is good. And I encourage every member of our audience, you know, to work on their personal brand, to have one, to elevate it. Hmm. But still, it's not enough. The wonderful Dylan Moran of Black Books, he said, it's all too much, but yet it's not enough. So what are we missing? Where to next after personal brand? What the world is looking for is hyper-personalization.
I love it. That guy just gave me a chill. Hyper-personalization.
And I'm going to claim this moment here on your podcast, because no one has taken hyper-personalization and brought it to brand and to X Factor. So this is a world first, people.
Trademark. Trademark by Yamini Naidu.
Thank you. Modestly same. Hyper-personalization is how when you walk into a cafe and your barista, so my barista in Glen Ferry Road, Hawthorne, they instantly know that I'd want an extra hot soy chai latte. So that interaction is hyper-personalized. This is how Netflix knows, Nina. Do you find that Netflix knows what you want to watch before even you do?
Oh, yeah. I actually watch or listen to Spotify more often than watch Netflix. And they have a Discover Weekly. And most of the time, it's spot on. And
incredible, isn't it?
At least once a week, there's a song I really love and play over and over.
I know. And you go, how do they know that? Like, how do they know that Nina Sunday, sitting up in Queensland, would love this song? Sometimes I tell my partner, you know, when stuff happens at work and I come home and I'm just like, whoa, and he always wants to solve stuff because he's an engineer. And I go, no, sometimes I think YouTube knows me better than you do, because YouTube knows what I need right now is to watch a whole lot of cute puppies rolling in the grass.
I get that too. I get cute kittens.
Cute kittens. See, it's different. Hyper-personalized. So for us as leaders, as entrepreneurs, small business owners, how can we hyper-personalize? So there's two parts. There's hyper-personalizing your business, and you'd use algorithms to do that. But how can you be hyper-personalized when you meet someone, so that they don't forget, so that you're remembered, you're recognized, you're referred? So yes. This is where, yeah, finding and crafting your X Factor statement helps you become hyper-personalized. So there can be only that one of you in the world. So I'll give you a couple of examples. Right, sorry, Nina, did you have a question?
Oh, I was just going to give you my example, but no.
So my own example, like I can boldly claim I'm the world's only economist turned Bollywood dancing business storyteller.
Yeah.
So obviously there are, you know, tons of economists, there are tons of Bollywood dancers, tons of business storytellers, but all those three, I can claim I'm the only one. So that is a hyper-personalized statement. Mm. And I've got a whole, like Kath Walters, who's a best-selling business coach, her X Factor statement is bike path nerd. So she's not a bike nerd, she's a bike path nerd. Still water kayaker and power napper. Still water kayaker and power napper. So this is when you use statements, when you use an X Factor statement. What a hyper-personalized X Factor statement does, Nina, it sparks a deep connection, it sparks curiosity, and sometimes it sparks change. Yeah. So with everything we've tried in the past before, with the elevator pitch, the unique selling proposition, our audience was like, oh my God, get me away. They couldn't escape fast enough. But this is quite the reverse. People want to lean in and they're curious because there are words in there that are so quirky, that are so individual, that are so relatable and yet inspirational.
We can add it to our LinkedIn profile and our other social media profiles. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. You can add it everywhere. You can live this X Factor statement on many levels. So you can definitely add it to all your social media channels. You can start to use it as a real point of differentiation. But for me, the work really goes deep when it starts to shift your very identity. You become that. You are that. The other thing I wanted to point out was everything else that we were trying to do, whether it was, you know, elevator pitch, I'm honoring of all of those things. They were all right for their time. You know how everything is right for its time?
Yes.
Was we were always looking outside ourselves for answers. An X Factor statement is the absolute opposite of that. So my research, I've spent the last 3 years just dedicated on X Factor. So my research was conclusive and quite shocking. Everyone has X Factor potential.
It's in their personal history. There are events or skills or career moments that are worth highlighting in an X Factor statement. And of course, you talk about the rule of three. So you really think about three specifics, and maybe they're related or maybe they're vastly different, but the only connection is it belongs to you.
Yeah.
maybe different points in your life.
Yeah. So to just backtrack a little bit. So why do you need an X Factor statement? It's because you want to be remembered, recognized, referred. You want to be hyper-personalized.
Yeah.
In a world that's, you know, increasingly wanting this, we want that uniqueness. And it's the next step after personal brand. So where can we go? We can go to being hyper-personalized. And then to what Nina is saying, everyone has X Factor potential because we've lived this rich life. Mm-hmm. Now, when I talk about X Factor and X Factor statements, we're talking about a modern X Factor. So it's not like shiny teeth and dazzling presence and charisma. Throw all that out of the window. This modern X Factor lives at the intersection. So if you think of an X, lives at the intersection of service. How does this serve my audience? Of value. How does this add value to my clients, to my team, to my, you know, to whoever I'm wanting to serve? And the other two points of the X Factor are purpose. So what is the purpose? Why am I using an X Factor statement or trying to find my X Factor? And the fourth part of that X is uniqueness. It's got to be something unique to you. And you've got to have fun with it, Nina. I think everything we've tried in the past has all been very serious and very stuffed shirt. And you know how post-pandemic, or I mean, you know, post-2020, we've all just relaxed a bit, don't you find? Like, you know, even with business.
Clothes. I mean, we're allowed to wear more comfortable clothes now, more comfortable shoes.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's about authenticity as well, because of online meetings, people got a bit of insight into their home life, and so that creates an authenticity and an intimacy and a relaxedness that we've discovered is quite beneficial.
Totally. We're living more holistically and you're allowed to bring your whole person. We've always paid lip service to the idea, but absolutely what you're saying made it all possible. I love your use of the word intimacy. Mm. That's what people are looking for. Mm. They're looking for that intimacy. And everything we had before was building towards that, but it didn't quite get there. And that's what the X Factor statement does. So if I say everyone has X Factor potential, then I want to give people a way to discover theirs and then be able to articulate it. And that is what Nina was saying. That is where writing up an X Factor statement can help you.
Mm.
And sorry,
what I found, if I can just look, I guess mine will change over time. But the one I did your workshop and you took us through a step-by-step process. And I suppose you do workshops.
I do masterclasses, correct.
Yes. And I would highly recommend that. I would highly recommend that. And of course, your website is this yamaninaidu.com.
Com.au.
.au for Australia. Yeah. And it'll also be in the show notes. So if I can just share with you, it's on my LinkedIn now. I've settled on speed reading trailblazer, whale swimmer, and pattern finder.
Lovely.
And I think the third one, the last one, begs the question, well, what sort of patterns and what do you mean? They might go for ask a question about the first one, speed reading trailblazer. And then, of course, there is a whole story around the whale swimmer.
I love it all. There's enough in there. I always want one element that's very warm and relatable. So for you, I guess it might be, you know, the speed reading, like we all want that. I want one element that's a bit quirky. That's definitely whale swimming.
Yes.
You know? And then I want one element that's inspirational. So for me, that's pattern. That's pattern making. I want to know, what is that? How can I do that? Wow, she does that for a living. So you get that lovely cadence of, you know, of having something that's warm, that's quirky, and then that's
Oh, that's
inspiring.
lovely. Yes,
I
seem to accidentally have hit on the right three.
I was guiding you a bit as well. I had a wonderful statement from Tracy Essard, who's our breakout speaker of the year. And her X Factor statement is X recorder player. So you know the instrument, X recorder player, Harley Davidson bike rider, and ferocious warmth leader.
Ferocious warmth.
Warmth leader, which is her IP. She's written a book and she owns that. Ex-recorder player is just so funny. It's relatable. Like, we're all that, but no one thinks to use it. Harley Davidson bike rider is very aspirational. You know, I haven't done it, but I'd like to do it. Mm. And ferocious warmth leader is inspirational. We just want that. Mm. So she finishes. The other way of thinking about your X Factor statement is it's your personal tagline.
Yes.
So just like Nike has a tagline, you too can have a tagline. And this is your personal tagline. And hopefully it's as memorable as Nike's and as unique as Nike's. The other thing about the personal, about your X Factor statement is I think of it as your story in a statement.
Right.
So yes. Nina, what would
you're probably... a storyteller expert, a business storyteller expert as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've told me in a less than 10 seconds so much about you. Hmm. In just that statement, which would normally have taken us, you know, a lot of conversations, lots of, I would have slowly discovered, oh, she's a speed reader, she's this. But you've told me so much in a tiny statement. You've packed in your story in a statement.
So here's the scenario. I'm meeting someone for the first time.
Yeah.
I go to Innovate Moreton Bay. So that's a networking organization of people that have amazing innovations. And you're meeting someone for the first time and they'll say, oh, what do you do? I usually say, what's your area of expertise? Because I find that's a bit more open. But then I would just answer, oh, well, this seems a bit blunt. Oh, I'm a speed reading trailblazer, a whale swimmer, and a pattern finder. Is that what I would do?
It's a bit tricky, isn't it? You could lead up to it. You could lead up to it. You could go, would you like to know what my X Factor statement is?
Nice.
Yeah, you could
that's
lead up
better.
To it. And it's always, I don't want us to be very serious and high-strung and tight about these things. You know, you go in like a machine and you go, this is my you have to be a little bit tongue-in-cheek about these things. You have to hold it lightly. Which is
that's
very,
right. So, well, yeah. I do have an X Factor statement. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
And that's better than, oh, I'm a professional speaker and a trainer and a podcaster.
Yeah. And actually in my book, and I'm sure we can even provide this as a resource, I've got a list. I've got 100 plus banned X Factor words.
So banned. Normally, I think I've banned. Got a copy of it.
Correct. It's in the book as well. Oh, you've still got a copy.
Oh, yes. I'll find it. Here they are.
Yeah.
Well,
so I'm happy for
the people
to
that use... are listening. I'm actually displaying it on the YouTube. Take a quick picture.
So good. I know we'll provide it in the show notes, Nina.
Yeah.
We can provide it in the show notes.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And why I'm sharing that is because 90% of the time in my life, I would describe myself as an educator, an author, a storyteller, or some version of that, you know, an author, educator, author, speaker. And that's fine in 90% of my life, but it's not good enough for my X Factor statement. Because if I was to put that combination into Google, I would get over 250 million hits.
Yes.
There's nothing unique about that, which is why they're on the banned X Factor list. So when you go
consultant to consultant is banned.
100% banned. Like, could it be a higher ban than 100%? All titles, all, you know, we've all
co-founder. I suppose founders banned too.
I'm sure everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Futurist is banned. I thought that had a bit of street cred.
Which one?
Futurist.
It's getting too cliched, Nina. So anything that's a bit
everyone's
cliche,
a futurist.
Correct. I know everything around, I'm not, you know, everything has nuance, so it depends on how. But generally I would say steer clear of these words when you're trying to find your X factor.
Yeah.
I find clients who struggle with trying to find their X factor, it's because we drift down into our business self. We want to reach for these words because they're so comfortable, they're so familiar. But they don't serve us. They don't serve us with our X Factor statement. So continue to use them 90% of our life. And Nina, can I share my screen? We can even read it out because I just want to show my LinkedIn. I just want to share my LinkedIn profile.
Okay.
So I'll just do a share screen so people can understand what it is.
I have to allow you to
do that. Allow me to share my screen. So I just want to give people an idea of how they might do this. how you can do both. So don't be binary. So this is where people say, oh my God, can I never speak about myself as a speaker again? That is not what I'm saying.
You should be able to, yes, there you go.
There you go. So you can see in my descriptor, I'm a business storyteller, award-winning keynote speaker, best-selling author. And I say I'm a business storyteller and a keynote speaker because I want clients, that's how they book me, yeah?
Yeah.
And then can you see there I've got my X Factor statement. I'm the world's only economist and Bollywood dancing business storyteller.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't feel you have to be binary with these things. In addition to everything you do, but I don't want any of those common 100 words featuring in your X Factor statement.
Yes.
Because it won't be an X Factor statement. I find those words are like a bit of asbestos. They bring down the best statement, okay? They're toxic.
What came to me as we were looking at that list is, and talking about finding something quirky and unique and inspirational, you want this to be a conversation starter. So you can, after that, when they ask more questions, then tell them what your occupation is, because we don't want to be seen to necessarily be trying to sell people at the first moment. It's like if you open up the conversation, they won't be looking over your shoulder or seeing who else they can meet.
That's so true, Nina. And isn't it annoying? Like, you know, when people, as soon as you meet them, they're pitching or they're pushing or they're hustling. And we really want to build, this is that idea of relationship currency. That's what an X Factor very gently allows you to build that relationship currency.
And you can have your own list that you can play with, and you can, as you meet different people, use a different set of three in a different order and work, like do an A-B trial.
Yeah, totally. And your X Factor statement is never static. It keeps evolving. Yeah. So yeah. I encourage you, in fact, to evolve, have many, many different versions of it. But they all should be based in some, you know, in your authenticity. So it's not like we're changing with the wind. They're all based in your truth, which is why I find when people put up, you know, they put up something bold like, oh, I'm the rock star of speaking. I go, what does that mean? Like, how can you say that? Where is the credibility in that? It's something you're claiming, but how do you then actually say, whereas all the things you've said are pretty provable. All the things I'm saying are also based in my expertise. So they have to be anchored in your truth.
For the people that are employed as a manager, or if they are an entrepreneur and they've or a founder and they've got a team of people that work for them, and you do have to present to your team. So you want to bring stories into it. You can have your list of X Factor descriptors, but could you encourage your team to also find their own X Factor? Before we go any further, let me tell you about the Apex Trader Funding, helping futures traders to execute entries and exits with precision. Apex Trader Funding educates people in what is a future contract, how to make money and hopefully avoid losing money with a future contract, how does a trade happen, different markets to trade, how to make the decision to trade. And here's the disclaimer. You have to be focused. You have to put in the learning time, the learning curve, to really know what you're doing, to manage risk and also manage profit, to know when to withdraw your profits and invest them elsewhere. Where to start? Go to the FAQ page on apextraderfunding.com. Follow links to do masterclasses with Apex Investing Institute at apexinvesting.com. Now, here's a promo code. When you are ready to apply to get started with funded training with apextraderfunding.com, use my code, Nina Sunday, for the listener discount of 25 to 50% off. To find out how it works, listen to episode 106 of Manage Self Lead Others podcast, my conversation with Daryl Martin, CEO of apextraderfunding.com. Now back to my episode. And then everybody's getting to know everybody else. It's sort of answering the question, what's something about you that we don't already know? You know, those sort of icebreaker questions, it sort of bridges that gap really quickly. And I do find that question in a workshop when they say, now go around and tell somebody something that they don't already know about you. I find that's a bit clunky, but if you phrase it differently, or if you already have your own personal list of X factor attributes, that's something you can use over and over again.
That's so true. And what you're really saying is that an X factor statement like this starts that process of self-disclosure and vulnerability.
Right.
And it creates a context where other people are encouraged to do the same. So we're able to really go deeper with our relationships. We're able to connect better. Mm. We're able to spark curiosity. All the things that we've been trying to do, but perhaps a little bit clunkily, with less elegant tools, this allows you an elegant way to do that. In terms of a leader, when you present with your X factor, so you obviously find your X factor, and then you'll find it's just got so many uses. It starts to just seep into every part of your being. As a presenter, you can make a point, and that can be quite boring. So, you know, you can make a point, no one's going to remember. Or you can nail a point. So when you nail a point, that's when you use your X factor.
Mm. Tell
to
us.
Make that point come alive. So for me, for example, it would be, you know, making a statement and then perhaps using a story to make that statement come alive. So then the audience remembers that point because of the story. There are two other ways I go through in the book about how you can use your X factor. One is participatory X factor. Mm-hmm. So this is where I teach some of my content using Bollywood dancing moves. And it's based on principles of kinesthetic learning. So it's not just because I like Bollywood dancing, let's impose it. But this is where I'm getting the audience to participate in my presentation or my, you know, my masterclass. We're all participating and learning together. And the other is performative X factor. So this is where you see speakers, they might make the whole audience, turn the whole audience into a chorus, into a singing chorus, or get the whole audience to demo something. And this is, again, where your X factor. So this is a slightly more complex idea I'm talking about, Nina.
I'm getting a really good idea here, Yamini, because I remember in my workshop, one of my attributes was I was brought up in Brisbane's Little Italy, of descendants of original Sicilians that came out and with an Italian surname, Castagnola. And I'm just thinking there must be some Sicilian gestures, Italian gestures that are quite famous that I can start bringing
That's
in, because I've got some conference presentations coming up.
You have to do it, Nina. They love it. This is what makes us memorable. Mm. This is what creates those unique audience experiences. I love it, Nina. You have to do it. You have to do teach them one of your key messages using Sicilian gestures.
Yes.
Love it.
But then, of course, the other thing is my name begs an explanation, because I didn't make it up. My father was born Nijelski, which Nigella is Sunday in Polish. And before I was born, he changed his name. And it's very common, especially in the United States, for the Polish to change it to an anglicized version, because it's very hard to spell the original term. So maybe there are some Polish gestures I can find out about too.
I'd suggest starting with one, but I love the backstory, and you'll find it so relatable, because so many migrants, even if we haven't changed our name, we found other ways to adapt and assimilate.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember our member from Tasmania, Trish Goodfield, who she's one of her elements in her X Factor statement is a student of Gaelic. And I said, Trish, you've got to do three statements. You've got to teach your audience one of your key messages in Gaelic.
Yes.
And she has done that. And it sounds just amazing. Just really short sentences she's got, you know. And she does it in Gaelic and then does it in English. And that works so well. But this is what I mean to say. When you start to live and breathe your X factor, and it permeates everything you do, is where the richness comes from.
In your book, you say, when leaders present inside the organization and outside the organization, they will win the pitch, the promotion. Wait a minute. They'll wow their peers, clients, and boards. Now, boards can be a bit stuffy. How can you use your X factor with a board presentation?
Just whenever I encourage my clients to find their X factor, it's the one time in life and in business where I say, I don't want you to consider your audience. So I get them to go deep and dive for gold and bring it up. I find if we start with audience, then we tend to self-censor, and we're going to get a very vanilla, a very bland, a very toned down version of our statement. And I think this might have happened in the past, where we were trying to always consider our audience, and then we end up with the lowest common denominator.
Right.
So in its purest form, my X Factor statement is the world's only economist turned Bollywood dancing business storyteller. Once you've got your statement, then you need to curate it for each audience. So sometimes my audience will want the whole lot. They want the Bollywood dancing storytelling economist. Sometimes my audience only wants the economist turned business storyteller.
Yes, got it.
And sometimes my audience only wants business storyteller. So I want you to curate it for each audience. Yeah?
I am going to go away and create a list of 10 now that I can interchange and use as appropriate depending on my audience.
And the richness that will give each of your keynotes and presentations would be just astonishing.
Because, but I want to make sure I mention podcast host somewhere in there, or do I wait and let that come second?
I would like you to, again, podcast host is definitely on my banned list, unless you can give it some sort of nuance.
Right.
Like what would make it so unique or, you know, so different that it would spark my curiosity instead of rolling my eyes and going, not another podcast host. Because the minute you use words like podcast host, I feel in some sense your audience thinks, oh, she's pitching her podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, this really changes the whole nature of what you say when you're networking. It's to, and the whole purpose of networking, as they say, is not to try and sell, it's to work out how you can be of service and in a mutual capacity. So now by coming in with something that is not related to your occupation specifically, allow that to reveal itself second, and just come in with some either quirky or memorable or inspirational. Attributes. And I like the fact that you say student of, because you can find something really quirky that I'm a student of when you break up tiles and you stick them to the pot.
Mosaic.
Okay. I'll say it again. I'm a student of mosaic. Well, I've got some interesting little pieces that I've created as a result of that. So maybe I'm a student of mosaic is one of them.
And isn't there something, so there's so much humility in the word student of, isn't there?
Yes.
Because we're always coming in and positioning ourselves, thought leader, expert, this, that. And so humbling to say, but I'm a student of. So,
because I'm not good enough to say I'm a mosaic maker. I can only do it in classes.
Under strict supervision.
Oh, look, Yamini, we're our conversation's coming to a close. I absolutely, I really enjoyed your workshop. I can say honestly to anybody listening, sign up for one of Yamini's masterclasses, because myself and another facilitator, we had a little comment while we're participating in person in your class, and we were saying she almost puts us to shame in her capacity as a facilitator. She is so skilled and takes us step by step in a very considered and gentle and humorous way. It's just so wonderful. We said we should just pack up and go home.
No, you're like too modest and kind, but thank you so much. That means the world to me. Both you and Julian saying that means the world to me.
Pleasure. Can you finish with your funny story? It's the story about how you had to give a presentation to some very skeptical people. Yeah. And it was about a story we're talking about your Indian mother.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fabulous story, unless you want to keep it for live events.
For live events. When I started speaking, Nina, this is like more than 15 years ago, I was quite a serious speaker. You know, like you take some time to unlock. And I was doing a keynote at IBM, and I looked out at the audience and I saw the sea of Indian faces. And I thought I should really share my Indian mother's story, because, you know, like you changing your father, changing your surname, these are so relatable for any audience. And I just took a leap of faith and I went, I'm an economist by training, but I co-founded Australia's first storytelling company. And I was so excited. I raced home to tell my mom. I'm like, Mom, I'm going to be doing storytelling. And my mom replied, is that a job? Why can't you be in IIT or be a doctor? And the whole audience roared with laughter. And that's been for the first time I stumbled on something. I stumbled and I didn't know what to call it. I thought I was being a funny story speaker. But that's when I started to stumble into my X factor. So when you find it, it's like you and your audience are one. You'll have this visceral connection.
And you know, the other thing you did mention was actually bringing up the elephant in the room. It's just made me realize I'm pretty sure there's an elephant in a room around my surname Sunday. People don't believe I was born with that name. And I think the elephant in the room is there is a story around it, and it's worth telling.
It's absolutely worth sharing. Even when you just shared a snippet, it was fascinating.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Yamini. It's a real pleasure talking to you today. And everybody, just go to yamininaidu.com. And the spelling will be in the show notes. But I think we've pronounced it okay for you to work it out.
You've done well. Thank you so much, Nina, and all the best.
Pleasure. Thank you so much, Yamini.
Speak soon. Bye.
This episode, we were speaking with Yamini Naidu, author of X Factor, who helps and inspires individuals to identify their X Factor statement to amplify and elevate their personal presence so they wow their peers, their clients and boards when presenting, and so they can win that pitch, promotion or business result. And a big thank you to Yamini Naidu. A thank you to our sponsor, Apex Trader Funding, our partner in putting this to air, and check out their episode 106. And until next time, bye for now.
Nina Sunday is on a mission to help leaders transform culture. To book Nina Sunday CSP to speak at your conference, visit ninasunday.com to request a proposal. Nina travels from Brisbane, Australia for in-person presentations Australia-wide. Twice certified virtual presenter, Nina Sunday presents virtually, globally, for any time zone.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.